Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your gifts of just mercy and grace toward us. Lord, that you prepared a way that we could come to you and just be in your presence. Lord, that we have peace with you. Lord, I pray now as we open up your word, Lord, that Lord, it would just do what you intend it to do. Lord, that it would convict, that it would correct. Lord, that we could search our hearts as we hear it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, Pastor Tim made a statement here a few weeks ago about judgment. He's been talking about God's love and these things. And he said that God does not judge without love. When he said that, it started something in me, I guess. Started some wheels turning. What would it be like if we were judges? Wouldn't go so good, would it? Because we don't always, we never have the love of God perfected in us. We judge with what we see. We judge with the imperfections that are in our heart. So I want to talk about judgment this morning. Somebody recently started a conversation with me, and it went on for several days. And they asked me how I felt or what my viewpoint was on a certain sin. And I thought about it, and my response to them was, well, I guess my stance on it is that it's the next slide. Could you hit that one? And this, if you're taking notes and you want to write down, this would be my first one here. Judgment is not my job. What is my job is to show God's love to people. So I'm going to talk about just a little bit about this. Because sometimes, some of you know, I worked at the prison for some time. And I was just having a conversation yesterday about the time that I was working there. And it was such a fine line or hard to keep this thought in mind. And when John, my son, went to work at the jail, I told him, son, I said, remember this. It's so important to remember this. It is not your job to punish the prisoners. It's simply your job to keep them there and to make sure they follow the rules. I said, show them the respect that is due them as a man. It's very important. And it correlates to our lives. What do we do with sinners? It's not our job to judge them. That is not our job. It's our job to love them and show them the same respect that we have. And as we get into this, I'll explain that a little further. How many of you are fishermen? I love to fish. My nephew teases me all the time. I've talked about him several times. We have a competition, and we just went to Wisconsin recently, and I won the trophy, I might say. It's back at the house where it belongs. But he always teases me because he uses a bait caster, if you all know what that is, okay? I hate them because they're hard to fish. You make one mistake casting it. Now, they're a great reel for certain things, but I just haven't perfected the cast. You cast that sucker, and it backlashes. You make one small mistake, and it backlashes. So he insists on fishing with the bait caster, and he's several times a day over there untangling this big old mess of knots and everything. And I just laugh at him. I say, oh, you like that bait caster, don't you? But my point is we all do it, right? Any of you that have ever fished with a bait caster, you've had a bird's nest, a blind that's all tangled up, right? That's us in life. We all sin, the Bible tells us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. So why would we think that we should be able to judge another? Romans 14:4 says, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him to stand. That's the scripture I have to lean on often. Because I see things, and I want to interject myself. Sometimes in ways I shouldn't. It's not my job. It's my job to pray for that person. Right? It's my job to point the truth, but not to judge. What is it that makes you and I holy? Can you say you're holy? I hope so. But what is it that makes us holy? It is merely the work that Christ did and the grace and mercy that He extends to us. I've shared this many times, but one of my favorite scriptures now is, let me look it up. Sometimes I go to messing up stuff when I try to remember exactly what they say. Second Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's just such a beautiful verse. He made Him who knew no sin become sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. If the blood of Christ has covered your sins, then you're holy. That is how God sees you. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the only thing that makes us holy. In of our own works, it's not. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, we're not in the business of judgment. We're in the business of restoration. You see that? You who are spiritual, you who are mature, you who understand the truth and have God's Spirit within you, you're not to judge, you're to love, and you're to restore people. So I say, yes, it's my job to speak the truth to people, but it has to be in a manner of love to build them up. It's not even our job to convict them. It's simply our job to proclaim the truth, and the Holy Spirit is to convict them. We're to restore, not condemn. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It's just a nice word picture. You are the fragrance of Christ. You know, His Spirit is here, but He's not walking the earth anymore like He did 2,000 whatever years ago. He's left it up to us to be the ones that are reaching out, to be the fragrance of God's grace and love among people. I must say this even carefully. If we are to judge anyone, it should be ourselves. We need to look inwardly in our own hearts, in our own lives. I see people, and myself included, the day-to-day grind, as you go along, you just get wrapped up, it seems. But I've had people on the other hand, people that hardly know me, like at work or something, people that say, man, there's something different about you. That's the best compliment that anyone could ever pay you, as long as it's for the right reason, I guess. Because they see something in you. Man, if we call ourselves Christians, if we say that we follow the Lord, we should be the best of people. Shouldn't we? But, number two there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. But it has not come yet. I first put up there that it's not today. But I thought, you know, it could be today. So I don't want to say that. But it has not come yet. John 12:47-48. Jesus speaking, He says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And to drive that point home, there's a story in John 8. And I'm not going to read it all, but all of you know it, I'm sure. Jesus is standing in the court of the temple, and the Pharisees drag a woman out to him. And they've caught her in the very act of adultery, it says. And they bring her in front of Jesus, and they say, Master, teacher, oh one that claims to be the Messiah, we just caught this woman in adultery. What would you have us do to her? The law says she should be stoned, but what do you say? And what did Jesus do? He stooped down and started writing in the dirt. Oftentimes wonder, what was he writing? Somebody once said, I wonder if he was writing those guys' names. I wonder if he was writing parts of Scripture, parts of the law. Thou shalt not. Or whatever laws that he knew the sins of these men's hearts was. And they were all watching him write this. And he speaks, what does he say? He says, Who among you is without sin? You throw the first one. And he just turned and ignored him again. And it says that their consciences were pricked. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they turned around and walked away. And then Jesus looked up. He saw the woman. And he stands up and he says, Woman, where are your accusers? And she said, There are none. And he said, Neither do I condemn you. But go and sin no more. It's a beautiful story. You see, there is a day of judgment coming, but it hasn't come yet. And Jesus was saying that right now. It hasn't come yet. The day of judgment is coming, but it's not today for you, lady. I don't condemn you. But he did say, but go and sin no more. So he spoke the truth. She knew the truth. So he spoke the truth to her. Don't continue to do what you're doing. There's a day appointed in time for judgment. Until then, God is extending his forgiveness and love. And we should too. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. Talks about that day. It says, And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whom the face of earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. They tried to flee from God, but nowhere they had worked, right? There is no place to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, and the things which are written in the books. Scriptures say that we will be held to account for every word that we speak. It's not so good, is it? You know, that's why I don't talk too much. I'm trying to keep it to a minimum. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Number 3 says, judgment doesn't have to be scary. It is a fearful thing. But it doesn't have to be scary. Why? How can we get away from that being so scary? 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 1 John 2:1 says this, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Everybody knows what the advocate is probably, but I looked it up just in case. It says one who pleads the cause of another. With the youth, I used to use this little analogy or picture, if you will. An advocate, you think of a courtroom, right? The day of judgment, a courtroom. It says that you're standing before the throne of God, and these books are opened. And all that you've done, good and bad, are written in them. And God starts, can you imagine God starting down the list? Tim, on July 2nd of 1964, I wasn't born yet, so. What about this? What happened here? What were you thinking? You see, because God knows the intents of your heart. You know, Jesus told the people when he was here on earth, he said, you say thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not do these things. But I say to you, if you've even done it in your heart, then you're guilty of it. So you may not have done some horrendous sins, but what has your heart done? So back to the book. He's saying, what about it? Oh, and then there's this day. This thing you did. Oh, what about this one? You stole that pack of gum. And the list goes on and on and on. But there we have our sharp lawyer in our corner. He stands up and says, I object. I object. All of those things have been paid for by my blood. And the judge looks back to the book, and all of a sudden, miraculously, he cannot read any more of the sins because the book, the page is stained with the blood of Christ, and the sins are gone. They've been covered. They're no longer to ever be spoke about. One of those songs made me think of another scripture this morning. I can't remember the words to it now, but the scripture that I thought about was, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So then, shall we sin so that grace can abound? Paul says, certainly not. Certainly not. Another time with youth group, how many of you have seen the Passion of the Christ movie? I mean, it's not perfect as far as Scripture goes, but it is a very, very powerful visual of the crucifixion and all that took place there. And I showed the clip where he was beaten and then crucified to the youth one time. And the lesson was the consequences of your sin. Very, very powerful. I don't think there was a dry eye in the room. My point here is, remember the cost of your sin. What did it cost? In that movie, just the portrayal of him being to the post, tied to the post there, and the beating they gave him, the whipping, it was horrendous. Then they let him down the street and crucified him. So powerful. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I think I've said this before one time, the prayer in the garden that he did. I believe personally, I mean the scriptures don't exactly say it, but I personally believe that that's where our sin was transferred to him. He was in the garden, he was praying, and he said, Lord, if possible, let this cup pass me, but not my will, but thine be done. Truly what I believe, and the reason I believe that is because the scriptures in the Old Testament of the scapegoat, where they would take the goat, and they would write out their sins on a piece of paper, and they would bind it up, and they would tie it to this head of this goat, and they would send him out into the wilderness to take their sins away. And then the New Testament tells us that Jesus has become our scapegoat. There in the garden, our sins were written into his soul, into his spirit, and he took those sins. It says he became sin. I believe that's why he was sweating blood, and that's why it was such anguish. I just can't believe that the physical pain is what drove him to that point. I believe it was the spiritual death that he had taken on at that point of our sin. And he paid those prices for us. So remember the cost of your sin and the words of Jesus and say, go and sin no more. Matthew 3:11-12 says, indeed, I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he is coming after me who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. If any of you have ever seen a combine in action or been a part of that, they take the wheat and they cut it, and all of the leaves and everything, the head and all the things that are a part of that, get blown out the back, and just the wheat remains. That's what this is talking about. And back in the day, they would blow that all out, and then they would burn the chaff off so that it would cleanse the wheat, and it would just leave the clean wheat then. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. He says, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's saying, Jesus will come, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When that happens, as we started this conversation, it's not our job to judge. It's not our job to condemn, but it's the Holy Spirit's job to prick the conscience like he did of those men who had the woman caught in adultery. He pricked their conscience and said, it's not the way you should do things. It's not the way you should behave. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse us and clean us that we should be holy. The Holy Spirit should be actively molding and purging our lives. And a big part of how he does that is through the Word. I encourage you, if you're not reading your Bible, do so. Dig into it. It's how God speaks to us in this day and age right now. He uses his Word and conveys who he is to us. And he conveys who he wants us to be. So bringing it all back around, it's easy to sometimes get into that way of thinking that we are the judge. And that we have somehow become righteous and holy. But it's not our job. It is simply our job to love people and to proclaim the truth in such a way that restores them, not tears them down. Would you bow with me? Lord, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, areas that we need to be more like you. Lord, help us to be loving to people. We can be the fragrance of Christ. Let's pray all these things in Jesus' name.